I can just.
I know, because there was an amendment I promised you the other day.
Then we just chair request unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow reconsideration of the vote by which we, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, and we will call to order the House Civil Judiciary Committee. I apologize for the delay. We're in session on the floor, and so we will go ahead and run through our agenda today. The transportation package is under debate right now on the floor as we speak, and at some point there will be a call of the House for which we will then break, but then we will come back up to finish the agenda. Today, let's begin with possible reconsideration and work session on Senate Bill 1019. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the committee reconsider the vote by which it passed Senate Bill 1019A to the floor.
Oh.
Is there any objection?
The self-audit
one. Any objection?
No.
So ordered. We're in work session on the chair. I'm sorry. Where's our what? I mean, how did you vote on this bill?
Yes.
Well, maybe you've got a sense of it. I don't have a record of the vote.
I have Edwards as the carrier, and I have a comment by Judy, if you want to hear that comment. Don't base your vote on the fact that this is a growing concept.
She was taking a shot at me when she made that comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
But she did vote yes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe
okay,
she
it
did.
Was unanimous then. All right, let's go into work session on Senate Bill 1019. Chair moves we reconsider the vote by which we pass Senate Bill 1019A to the floor. Is there any objection to that?
I have a question,
what?
If I may.
Yes.
Why are we reconsidering a unanimous vote?
Because we have some amendments that came in after it got out.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so ordered we... John Powell, you want to come on up?
Tim Wood from the Department of Justice.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Powell, representing State Farm Insurance Companies, and I appreciate the indulgence of the committee and the time to reconsider Senate Bill 1019 and the amendments dated 5/27/1999 and identified as Senate Bill 1019-86. And Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as we discussed when the bill was before you, the purpose of Senate Bill 1019 was not to conceal any kind of activity that was harmful to discovery in most cases, and particularly with the regulator at the insurance division. Mr. Wood and the Medicaid Fraud Unit, Department of Justice, read the bill and discovered that they would like to have some amendments for the purpose of making sure that nothing in this act would get in the way of prosecuting Medicaid fraud. And we obviously didn't want to do anything in the bill that would do that as well. So what is proposed before you are amendments that actually hand engrossed amendments that Mr. Wood and I agreed to. And we sat down and went over each of the areas of concern, and Mr. Wood then got these amendments drafted, and they set before you today. And perhaps Mr. Wood could just go through them and explain them very briefly.
Okay. Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Timothy Wood, an Assistant Attorney General. My current responsibilities, I'm the Chief Trial Counsel for the Oregon Department of Justice. What happened when we reviewed this bill, we did have a number of legal questions that arose and how it would impact the Department of Justice and the Attorney General deals with Medicaid fraud. And the First Amendment that you have before us arose as a result of asking the question, well, who does this bill apply to? And in meeting with Mr. Powell, it was clear that who we wanted the bill to apply to was the insurance industry. And it was not the intent to cover any other activity that may be regulated by the insurance commissioner other than the insurance industry. So the first change that we make in the bill is in Section 2, Subsection 1, simply to make it clear in our mind that who we're talking about is the insurance industry. The second question that came to mind was, how does this fit in the event that the Department of Justice or one of our agencies or the federal government is involved in an investigation regarding Medicaid fraud? And in, again, in visiting with Mr. Powell and the industry, he indicated that it was not the intent to conceal or cover up any sort of Medicaid fraud. And so what we've done is we've made it clear that when the Department of Justice is engaged in investigation regarding Medicaid fraud, what happens to one of these audits. The third change is that as you go through the bill, what you find is that there is an exemption when these audits may be made available to members of the public or to a plaintiff or an attorney. And what the bill talked about is that if an individual is able to show that the privilege that is being asserted for a fraudulent purpose. Well, this was, I turned to Mr. Powell and said, could you help me out and define fraudulent purpose? I don't see it defined in the Act. And while we struggled with the definition, what we tried to do is say, okay, here is one situation that we can agree upon, that if in fact the audit itself was conducted for the purpose of hiding or concealing fraudulent activity, then certainly the industry should not be able to throw the blanket over this audit to keep it confidential. And I think what we were talking about there is we've read stories in the paper about the tobacco industry and how they may or may not have used certain privileges in order to hide unlawful activity. So again, we tried to provide some direction to the legislatures and to those that would be taking advantage of this bill as to what fraudulent activity or fraudulent purpose means. And then the last change related to if a district attorney is involved in a case dealing with criminal activity, what must that district attorney show in order to access one of these audits? And I'm sure, as the committee may or may not recall, there was a criteria that previously was established in the bill, and the district attorney had to show three different things. And as we discussed this with Mr. Powell, what we found was that this standard was Herculean, if you will, because the district attorney had to meet all three of the criteria. So what we've done is we've changed the bill, have a proposed amendment before you, which would say a district attorney may get the audit if he or she is able to show meet one of three different criteria.
Questions for Mr. Wood?
Just a clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Edwards. Where and what amendment were you referring to, the H6, and what line were you referring to?
I'm on, so you have the A and Gross Senate Bill 1019. If you look at line 23, it references in line 7, page 3, delete and, then you're going to insert an or.
And that appears to be line 23 of the dash A6 amendments.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I apologize. I was both pulled out and then in a sidebar conversation during your testimony, Mr. Wood, but I have an original dash A6 and I have an A engrossed or a hand engrossed dash A6, and we're operating off the hand engrossed version?
Representative Williams, that's correct.
Okay. Mr. Powell, do you have anything to say about these
amendments? Mr. Chairman, no. I think Mr. Wood did a very good job of explaining the intent of the amendments, and we think it improves the bill because clearly the intent was not in any way to obscure the ability to prosecute fraud. In fact, the industry feels just the opposite in that regard, and that fraud should be prosecuted. And if an insurer was using an audit for fraudulent purpose to cover up activity that might be a violation of the law, we do not stand for that either. And I think these amendments clarify that and make it clear.
Okay. Representative Uberlaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm actually trying to bring this into the original bill, so we'll read So it will flow. And the way I understand it is that when you're talking about adding that part for about a fraudulent purpose, including the audit for fraudulent purpose, at the end of your quote, shall be construed to, then you just go back and pick up line 41 that says limit the authority of the director, correct? Okay.
Okay. Anything else? All right, we're in work session. We have before us the, if you see the hand, I would say the hand engrossed, but the hand modified dash A6 amendments, which I believe are the version that your testimony has been based on. To move this along, the chair requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow the conceptual amendment of the dash A6 amendment as proposed by the hand engrossed version that is before us. Is there any objection to that suspension? So ordered. Representative Williams.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the hand engrossed version of the dash A6 amendments, or the conceptual amendments to the dash A6 amendments.
Okay, Representative Williams moves the dash A6 amendments, conceptual amendments to the dash A6 amendments. Is there any objection to that?
Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move the dash A6 amendments, including the conceptual amendments, for Senate Bill 1019.
Representative Williams moves dash A6 amendments, including the conceptual amendments, into Senate Bill 1019. Is there any objection, any discussion? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move Senate Bill 1019 as amended by the dash A6 and conceptual amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Well, Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 1019 as amended by the dash A6, including the conceptual amendments, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? I think that's about 15 motions. We ought to be just about there. Okay, please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Lowe?
Aye.
Representative
Urkelau?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative
Wells? Yes.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Excuse me. Aye. Senate Bill 1019, as amended by today's committee action, goes before with a due pass recommendation. Representative Edwards, it's still yours. Close the work session on Senate Bill 1019. Senate Bill 50 will not be before us today. Senate Bill 68. Do we have any reconsideration on that, or is that just straightforward? That's not Senate Bill 68. Senate Bill 68. We've not passed that out, have we?
No. That's okay. We have to bring back for a concept amendment.
Oh, we do. So we have passed it out.
Yes.
We're bringing it back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then in that case,
Chairman,
Representative Williams.
Yes. I would move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules by which we pass Senate Bill 68 to the floor for the purpose of adopting conceptual amendments.
I don't think it takes a suspension since we noticed it, but I'll take
okay.
that as a motion
okay.
to reconsider.
Okay.
Representative Williams moves to we reconsider the vote by which we passed out Senate Bill 68 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection?
Is this the question? Is this for
the purpose of conflict amendments that are before
okay.
us today? Okay. So ordered. Let's see. We have then a motion
right.
to reconsider. That was the suspension.
Right. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move I thought we just did, but I would.
Well, that was the motion to.
That was the motion to reconsider.
Oh, that's right, because it didn't need the suspension.
We didn't need the
I'm
suspension.
Sorry, I corrected you, and now we corrected you. We're even. All right, Senate Bill 68 is before us. We're in work session.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I guess I'd like counsel to tell us what the dash A3s do, but assuming that he likes, or assuming that I like them, I'll then move them.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the conflict amendments to dash A3 repeal some temporary language in the bill and replace it with permanent language. It does not affect the overall substance of the bill. They are conflict amendments. I have discussed this with the courts. Swank is here, and they're satisfied with what the conflict amendments do as well, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Excuse me. Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may. Representative Wettelau.
The confusing languages, and perhaps counsel can explain this to me. It says sections 2 and 3 of this 1999 Act, so meaning this Act, are repealed. So that
is temporary language, which would have gone into effect prior to, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, members
yes.
of the committee, would have gone into effect prior to the effect of this bill,
And this language now repeals that, tighten it up, and the language you'd be implementing now would take effect so that you're not the, so you're not creating a bill which sunsets indirectly. You're now creating a bill which would go forth in full effect.
I know that's what you...
I believe it.
But I guess I'll take it with faith, right?
Okay. Chairman. Representative Williams.
I've moved the Dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 68.
Representative Williams moves the Dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 68. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I'll move Senate Bill 68 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 68 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
I'm somewhat confused, yes.
No.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Excused? Aye. Senate Bill 68 as 68A as amended by committee action goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Who was the carrier on that originally?
Representative Edwards.
Representative Edwards. Yours again. Close the work session on Senate Bill 68. Let's go into, are we ready on 449? Council? Are we ready on 449?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, work session on Senate Bill 449. Where are we?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as you remember, Senate Bill 449, I'm sorry, we've not heard this before, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 449 would allow the exchange of information concerning juvenile between schools, courts, and certain criminal justice agencies.
Yeah, we did have this.
Yes, we had this here.
Yes,
please. Larry Oglesby is even in the back of the room.
Yes, we heard.
Why don't you come on forward, Larry?
We heard this on
Karen,
the 4th
of
May.
No? Okay. Okay, doesn't have to. Be not.
Yeah, ask him about that. Yeah, Mr. Chair, could I refresh our recollection?
Sure.
Yeah, we had a hearing on this on the 4th of May, and Senator Bryant and Representative Morissette came and testified, if that helps you remember, and Greg Brown and Alan Fricke, and several others. So we have heard this. Thank you.
Chair Shetterly, members of the committee, Senate Bill 449 was heard previously. There was one proposed amendment that a work group was sent away to deal with. The question is in Section 2 of the bill, and it was a question of who should be responsible for notifying schools when youth are tried as Measure 11 waived either to circuit court or to municipal court. The bill, the drafted bill, placed that requirement on the juvenile department. This was an amendment that didn't get picked up on the Senate side. And what we are doing with this amendment is placing it with the agency who has the position to have the knowledge to provide the information to the schools. So we have amendments which basically replace juvenile department with agency supervising the person, which could be different agencies depending on which forum these are in. But if the idea is to have the agency who has the information provide that to the schools in these various circumstances with youth who are being under being tried as adults.
Mr. Chairman, there's an internal conflict. On
Representative Lowe.
Maybe I'm being picky, and it may be because I just don't feel all that great. But if we delete JU, and insert agency supervising the person on line 13, and we do the same thing in line 15, we got two agencies supervising the person twice. We got to fix it.
Sorry, what was that again?
Never mind. I don't care.
Okay. So ordered.
I can say what you want me to say,
Well, not unless it's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, Representative Lowe had a question that on page one, the amendment says on page one, line 13 of the bill, you delete ju for juvenile and insert agency supervising a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then she believes that's an agency supervising in two persons. Is that it, Representative Lowe? Where's your concern?
Never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think, hold on, Mr. Chair, I mean, I want to make sure that I'm going through now looking at the bill and making sure that what she was worried about is that that we put the term agency supervising the person in the statute twice.
Twice in the same line.
In
but it's okay,
line.
It's all right. I see what I'm
did you,
I'm just
did
not
you follow it all the way through?
I'm cooking now.
And you're confident that the amendment doesn't do what you thought it did?
Yep.
Okay.
She's a bit under the weather today.
All right, then we move forward.
All right. As I recall, I want to make sure these are the amendments. I think when we left this bill last, there was an issue as to who was going to be responsible for the notification, and this is the resolution of the juvenile directors and OYA and everybody who had an interest in this thing to approach it with these dash A6 amendments. Is that right?
Chair Shirley, that's correct.
Okay. So these are. Consent amendments by the stakeholders. Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move the dash A6 amendments to Senate Bill 449.
Representative Williams moves the dash A6 amendments to Senate Bill 449. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I've moved Senate Bill 449 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 449 to the floor with as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Please call the roll.
Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Representative
Eckert? Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Bevelau?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Yes.
Yes.
Chair Shirley?
Aye. Senate Bill 449, as amended, goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Williams will be the carrier on that. Close to the work session. And thank you, Larry and Karen. Next, Senate Bill 854. We'll open a work session on that, and we don't have counsel. Do we have anybody here? I'm sorry, well, this is not a work session. It's a public hearing. We've not had Senate Bill 854, so we are in public hearing on Senate Bill 854.
Larry.
Counsel, do you want to tell us what this is?
Larry,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 854 would direct the Oregon State Bar to create an attorney serving the Legislative Assembly with continual legal education credit. I believe it's one credit hour per month of service.
Okay. Okay, which member of the bar wants to explain?
Chair.
Representative Werbelow.
We have no amendments, right?
There are no amendments.
Okay. I move.
Oh, we're not in work session yet. I thought maybe some of our non-attorney members might.
Rock and roll.
Well, I'm not happy with this because one lousy hour for a month of this joy is just. Excuse me, may I reply to
Representative Werbelow.
As one who has sat with the MCLE committee for one time that I want to talk at, and it's getting a bill that has 1 hour a month, Representative. Well, I think that I ought to have 10 hours for this month. This month has been tough.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. for members who aren't versed in MCLE credits, the bar, by court rule, requires that attorneys maintain continuing legal education, and I think it's basically 45 hours every 3 years.
Right.
And the purpose of the continuing legal education is primarily to maintain attorneys as being current in new developments in the law, so that as clients come in, why attorneys are versed on changes that are, and keep them up to date. There has been an ongoing battle between lawyer legislators and not so much the Bar Association, but the MCLE committee that oversees the MCLE program that the attorneys who are in the legislature and on serving on committees such as judiciary in particular, are actually involved in the development of law and are fully meeting the requirements or expectations of continuing legal education by virtue of the work that we do. And also coupled with that is it's tough enough to take time out from practices to do the legislative session every 2 years plus all the interim work and then have to do the continuing legal education requirements on top of that when we're working on our own time. So this bill addresses that, and that I think is about as much of an exposition as I need to make. Anybody else? Okay, close the public hearing.
I would like to say one thing. I don't mean to sound ungrateful at all. I am very grateful, and I commend you for reaching a consensus. And I know that the work was difficult. I tried to attend the hearing, but I wasn't excused from the floor, so I missed it. Good job.
Yeah.
Do we have any
And I wish to declare
Representative Williams.
I think Representative Lowe needs to know that in fact there was no consensus reached. On this issue, in a meeting that took place that involved the Chief Justice, Justice Kulongoski, several members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, several members of this committee, and a number of members by telephone conference from the MCLE board. I guess I would have to describe that meeting as a virtual meltdown. The MCLE board is not interested in doing this by rule, which was within their power, even at the recommendation of the Chief Justice of the court, who was not speaking for the court but was speaking simply individually, as was Justice Kulongoski. So it's an unfortunate thing, frankly, I think, that this is the action that we're taking. But I think we take it with the full knowledge that we did everything possible. And I guess for me, in somewhat of a vote explanation on this issue, I'd like to say that the comparison that I've continually made in this process is, for example, members of the Board of Bar Examiners, who essentially prepare some bar questions and then go to Sun River and grade those examinations on a weekend, are given MCLE credit for that work. And there are other exceptions within the framework of the MCLE rules, and it just seemed to me as a comparison to the work that we perform here, as to that other worthy work, and I'm not discounting it in any way, shape, or form, but if they were going to grant exemptions, it seems like what we do in this committee, and frankly in the legislature, is as at least equal value and merit when it comes to the law. And for that reason, and because, frankly, of the intractability of the MCLE board's position on this issue, it will be that I cast my vote in favor of Senate Bill 854. And although I don't believe it is technically a conflict of interest, I also will declare a conflict of interest on this before voting, as I noted Senator Bryan did as he carried this bill on the floor of the Senate.
Representative Werbelow.
Thank you. And on a more serious note than I responded to, Representative Lowe. I would also say that not only the Chief Justice speaking for himself and Justice Kulongoski tried to move this along, it was also represented to us that the Oregon State Bar, the right. Board of Bar Governors, also thought that this was a good idea. And we were all concerned. I think the bar expressed concerns. We expressed concerns about a separation of powers type of thing, you know, us moving in on an area that the MCLE board had always been the decision maker on. But because, and there was more than one meeting, I have to tell you over the years, and that is Senator Bryant first started this years ago, and it has always been the same. We're not really willing to talk about it, period. So I think it's because of that that we felt that it had come to a point we had to move forward on it ourselves. To the legislature.
Okay. And I think to just, again, not to beat this thing, but Representative Williams mentioned that attorneys who serve on the Board of Bar Examiners get credit, so do attorneys who speak at continuing legal education programs, so that when we are asked to speak at the bar convention after the end of the session, and we spend an hour on the podium while we get an hour's credit for talking about what we had been doing for 6 months, but no credit for actually doing it. So there's an element of that as well. Anything else on this?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because it's already been voiced that there probably isn't a conflict under our rules. We should at least perhaps say there might be a potential, and I'm a member of the bar, too, so.
And I'll do the same, so potential conflicts of interest are... Oh, do you have a conflict, Representative Beckman?
Thank you, Chair. I have lots of conflicts, but not... a question is one of interest. This is the only way that this problem can be addressed, or this is your only redress of grievances, so to speak?
Unfortunately, to answer that, unfortunately, after the years of meetings with the... members of the board of our governors and the Supreme Court and the MCLE board, I think the answer to that is yes. And again, to underscore what Representative Williams and Representative Werbelow said, it's not the Supreme Court, it's not the Board of Bar Governors that have been intractable in this, but it is it has been the MCLE board, and they are autonomous in that area, largely. And so that's where we are. It's all a fight among friends. I don't think anybody's going to get bent out of shape about it. Okay. All right. Let me close the public hearing then. Oh, I will say close the public hearing and move into work session and note for the record that potential conflicts of interest have been declared by Representatives Lowe, Williams, Werbelow, and the Chair, although I do believe that based on our rules, this technically is not a conflict since it does affect...
I have a question.
Yes.
The question is this. I understand that court clerks and people who... recorders have to have CLE credit as well. Is that correct?
Representative, Ms. Chair, Representative Lowe, court reporters have to have continuing education credit, not continuing legal education.
Well, but yes, you can attend a CLE and get credit for it, can you not?
I can attend any one of your CLEs and get credit for my court reporting requirements, yes.
So how would this translate into her requirements? It wouldn't?
This bill doesn't.
This bill doesn't affect that. I have my own issues with the Court Reporting Association with regard to CE credit.
Just checking. Happy birthday.
This bill is going to come up in that discussion.
Mr. Hendricks, you're here. Are you here on about this bill?
Clarification.
Oh, okay. What is...
I was here to hopefully clarify a little bit on the conflict.
I
can talk to you.
Yeah, afterwards is fine. Yeah, or outside.
Let me just go out there.
Okay, we're in work session. Before you leave, Representative Werbelow, let's vote.
Oh, yes, I am. Okay. I'm just standing up to get my...
Okay, Representative Werbelow, in fact, moves Senate Bill 60...
Absolutely.
Or rather, 854 to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Perhaps I'm in a bad mood, but I'm going to vote no.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this?
No, I'm...
Okay.
No, I'm a little troubled by the conflicts here. No.
Representative Mullen? Jeez. I vote aye. I'm sorry. I do. I vote aye.
Representative Werbelow?
Yes, of course.
Representative Walker?
You know, there's nothing in here for court reporters. I'm going to be a no.
Williams votes aye.
Chair Shadley.
Actually, Representative Witt gave me his proxy on this one. Chair Shadley votes aye.
Okay, the chair.
Representative Bagwin?
I'm feeling a lot better now. I'd like to change my vote to an aye.
Representative Beckman changes his vote tonight. Representative Edwards.
Well, Mr. Chair, given that the four of us as non-lawyers really aren't getting anything out of this, I will change my vote just to move the bill.
Thank you
but
very much.
Reserve the right to change
for your courtesy,
mind.
For your courtesy vote.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Representative Walker.
Mr. Chair, I, on second thought, I think I can use this bill to petition the Court Reporters Association and ask them for CE credit. So I will be an aye vote.
Senator Walker changes her vote to an aye.
Mr. Chair, not used to being the only no on issues. I will change my vote to aye also.
He's still got some hair in that shell. All right, Representative Wells changes his vote to aye. I think that makes a unanimous representative. We'll carry the bill. Folks, let us carry that goodwill with us through the night and into tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Thank you for playing along with us.
Now, that moves us right along into...
I think that was my favorite moment in this
To Senate Bill 789, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 79. Council, and while you're reviewing this, I'll invite Martha Walters and Brad Swank to come forward.
Unfortunately, Ms. Walters, isn't here today. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 789 would repeal the what is known as the Uniform Child Custody and Jurisdiction Act and replace it with what is now known as the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act. Fortunately, Ms. Walters could not be here today. She unfortunately had a child that had to go to the doctor, and because of scheduling, couldn't stay. How Ms. Walters has been involved with this from the very beginning. It comes from the Uniform Law Commission. Essentially, what the bill addresses is child kidnapping or custody orders in the various states. With our mobile society, you have court orders in one state, define who has custody, who has visitation. Often families move to other states, children go with them, and it becomes unclear. To deal with this issue, all the states have adopted the Uniform Child Custody and Jurisdiction Act, which defines who has the jurisdiction under that circumstance. The federal government has also passed a related act known as the Parental Kidnapping Prevention Act, which is meant to give full faith and credit to the Uniform Child Custody and Jurisdiction Act. In that time, certain logistical issues have arisen, and the acts have not always worked well together with one another. The Uniform Law Commission has gotten together approximately 3 years ago, and since that time, working with all involved parties, courts, attorneys, and other children's representatives, have crafted the Uniform Child Custody and Jurisdiction Enforcement Act, which is before you. There's also a summary that Ms. Walters put together before you, which I commend to you. It doesn't take long. It is 4 pages, but it does summarize well the act. Coming into this state, UCCJEA going to the Senate has involved a lengthy process of negotiation between Ms. Walters on behalf of the Uniform Law Commission. The bar has been involved in this. Mr. Swank, on behalf of the courts, have brought forward the product that is now before you. The Senate amended it. There is an amendment before you, which is also the product of that working group. I believe it's the final product, and my understanding is all parties have signed off on it. I received word from the Oregon Legal Services that they are also in support of the bill. Mr. Chairman.
That's the longest summary you've given us on your last day of work. And with that, I'm going to recess just for a minute the public hearing on Senate Bill 789 before we lose Representative Williams to the floor and to rules. This is...